It will now be a Sunday at 1 o'clock game on Fox. The NFL has announced. So again, the week 16 game that would have been the Thursday nighter between the Browns and the Bengals has been moved to Sunday 1 o'clock. Instead, the Thursday night game will be the Denver Broncos versus the Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday night. So Browns move to Sunday at 1 o'clock, the week of December 19th.
So wait, you're saying the NFL doesn't want a 4-7 team up against a 3-8 team? What?
That'd be December 22nd. Do I have that right? 22nd would be the date? Yes, December 22nd would be that game.
All right, okay. Let's get to the hotline. North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's our super friend. You know him. You love him. Former Indians pitcher and now calls the Tampa area home, where he is the color analyst for the Rays, the team really without a stadium. They'll be playing in a minor league park coming up next season. They'll be moving over to the Yankees spring training home. He is Brian Anderson. Took way too long to get to you. Sorry, Brian. How are you?
We've been flex, BA.
How do you think I am? Happy Friday, baby. How about last night, huh?
Were you digging it?
That's all that's right in the world. It's all that's right in the world. Somebody in this room isn't as over the moon as he should be, though.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What are you talking about?
You came out whining.
I didn't whine. I just said it's a hard pill to swallow when your team beat the Steelers and the Ravens and you're sitting here with three wins and you should have beat the Bengals. That's all. I said one thing that is absolutely truthful. You want to argue that with me, BA, or no?
No, you know what? I mean, I have not gone down that path, and that typically is something that I would have already done.
That is correct, because why?
With beating the Steelers.
We are cut from the same cloth, yes.
The fact that it has been brought up, yes. What it does is it gives you a glimpse of what you know this team was capable of.
Yep.
But you were riding number four, and you were never going to get there. Now, I'm not saying Jameis is the long-term answer. I don't know, but it is – certainly exciting when he's under center, and with the two wins that you're talking about, it gives you a glimpse like, hey, you know what, this team was capable of so much more. You know, it's sad that it's, you know, the season is what it is, especially coming off of last year and all the momentum building into this year, thinking that, you know, hey, listen, 11 wins with five quarterbacks last year, so let's go. And it's turned out to be a horrendous season, but last night was obviously a huge bright spot, especially beating that team at home in front of the hometown fans and with the weather. The first weather game of the year, and it did not disappoint, man. That snow in the second half was awesome.
Daniel?
Andrew?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So here's the other question I was kicking around, BA. After watching Jameis the last couple of weeks, would you sign him to like a 3-year deal? Like, I'm just talking 3 years, let's say 20 mil a year just for fun.
Yes, I would. I absolutely would. You know what I mean? Because what else do you have going forward? You know, is it going to be a draft? Is it going to be a guy that, you know, I mean, I've heard that, and I don't know, I don't do enough of the studying of, you know, the quarterback class, but I've heard it's maybe underwhelming is not the right word.
It's worse. I ask that same question to every college football expert we have, and they're like, this is not a good draft for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it kind of falls under not good, Bob.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. So what are you going to – if you're thinking about the draft, you've got an underwhelming class of quarterbacks in the draft, and, you know, Jameis is a guy – listen, he's been there and done that before. I mean, I would do that. I would absolutely do that so that you have someone on that roster that you can count on to go out there and play. And is he going to give the ball away and make some throws? Maybe he shouldn't because he believes that he can make that throw. Yeah, that's probably going to happen. I mean, he had a season where he threw 30 picks. So, you know, he's going to give the ball to the other team, but he's also going to give the ball to your guys an awful lot too and throw for a lot of yardage and, you know, and a lot of touchdowns if he's out there regularly. So, he would be a guy that I would love to have on the roster because he's also played the backup. So if you end up stumbling into a situation where you have a guy behind center, he's your backup. If not, you play him. But think about where this quarterback room would be if he's not with them. It's going to be an unknown, a young draft pick in a bad draft class. And who else? Where are we going to find a better backup than Jameis? I don't know.
Okay, so there was a lot of rumblings going into this thing about Kevin Stefanski and his future. I think he's locked in, man. I don't think he's going anywhere. The question is about Andrew Berry, I think, a little bit, Paul DePodesta. How will the front office look? But do you, wins like last night, and, you know, we heard what Tom Pelissero had to say earlier today. Like, I don't think Kevin's going anywhere. What do you think?
Yeah, I would hope not. I mean, everybody, you know, loves to get on the coach, and so then you have to go find one. And yep. Who's that going to be? And Stefanski is a good coach. There's no question about that. Not lost the team. You know, I think that he's excellent. Two-time, you know, coach of the year. Last year was able to meander his way through that schedule with 11 wins. And I don't care if you say the schedule wasn't strong or not. 11 wins with five different quarterbacks. You know, riding out that was a pretty great job by not only the guys, you know, next man up and getting it done on the field, but the coaching staff for having them ready, prepared, and believing that they could do that. And so I absolutely think that he's going to be there, and I think that he should be there. I don't think that his seat should even be remotely warm. You know, this was just a season from hell, but I don't think it has anything to do with him. Or not, it doesn't all lay at his feet.
Former Indians pitcher / current Tampa Bay Ray color analyst Brian Anderson joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You, of course, know him as the best friend of the show. B.A., is Jerry Jeudy a keeper? Because I initially, when they made that move, I was like, okay, you didn't give up a whole lot. And then they turned around and paid him. I was like, ooh, that's a choice. And I'm starting to wonder if they made the right choice, man.
Well, hey, listen, last night, what, six catches, 85 yards, and some tough catches? You know, you think about that fourth down conversion on.
Oh,
no, we lost him.
Oh, man.
Oh, he was coming. There he is.
He's back. Low snow. That was a heck of a catch in some tough circumstances. I mean, he really balled out in some, you know, it's not like Jerry Jeudy's probably played in a weather like that. I mean, maybe out in Denver he had a game or two, but that, the way that he performed last night, then you go, yeah, that's a guy making tough catches in a tough game in tough weather. You know, listen, they need somebody out there. They need somebody out there wide. I mean, there's not a, you know, it's not like they have a loaded wide receiver room either.
You want to switch over to baseball? You ready? B.A.? Still, are we having trouble with this phone line still?
I think he is. Yeah, he's cutting in and out.
You know where he's probably on the stupid bridge from St. Petersburg.
I am on the bridge. I'm on the bridge right now, yeah.
Oh, my God. Great call, wasn't it?
Hey, look, you know what's funny? Is I was just talking about this with a buddy yesterday. So when we start our season next year, I don't know if I'll ever cross this bridge. I don't know that I will ever go into St. Pete, you know, with us playing on the Tampa side.
You know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, guys. You, hey. Dude, this is like the sixth dad joke that he's had in the first hour of this show, and I'm going to need Tums if this keeps up.
He's not, it's not, you know, you think after last night he would come out and just roll and it would be easy. Excited, you don't have fans yelling at you all day, you know, calling in, you know, callers calling in and you know, just spewing venom. This is a good day. But
it is really weird. There has been very, very little venom today. Very little. It's the Steelers. That's why. I mean, it's got to be. If this was a win against any other team, maybe than the Ravens, I don't know that people would be this happy. It's in a two-win season, three-win season right now where you're at, that when you beat the Steelers, it's a little bit more special, right? Everyone, can we all feel like that? Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you're going to have one of those years, then at least beat those teams.
Yes.
And no question about it. You know, the season's lost. These become your bowl games and your playoff games.
All right, B.A., let's head to the baseball side of things. The awards have all been announced. No real shockers throughout anything. The only question I have for you, and this one might be a little bit off the beaten path, but we've started to see more and more think pieces like this. Do you think that Major League Baseball needs, I mean, I know they have the Mariano Rivera Award for relievers and the Trevor Hoffman Award for relievers. Do they need to, like, boost those a little bit more or figure out some kind of reliever Cy Young that truly has meaning to it? Because it feels like right now the Cy Young has just, and it's always been a starting pitcher award, but boy, buddy, with the amount of relievers we're using now, I feel like we really need to highlight this more.
Yeah, I think that's why they went down the path with those particular awards, and they will try over the course of time to continue to put the spotlight on, because you're right, bullpens are being used now like they've never been used before. Here's my issue with Major League Baseball, and I don't understand why they do it, but does anybody care about these awards at this point? You know, I didn't even realize they came out. Oh, Stephen Vogt, AL Manager of the Year. Oh, great. Who cares? But why is it so far removed from the season? nobody is thinking about baseball right now. So when you come out with these awards, everybody's like, yeah, great. You don't even actually know what award's coming out on what day. It boggles my mind. It's so far removed from the end of the season. People have moved on. They are into college football. They are into professional, you know, NFL football. They are starting to get into basketball, and the NBA and college hoops have started. That's where people, and baseball's like, hey, look, we're handing awards out over here. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Get it closer to the season, for goodness sake. I didn't even know. I'm in the industry and had no idea. I'm getting alerts on my phone that so-and-so won Rookie of the Year. I think they gave Rookie of the Year. Oh, awesome. That's cool. Why am I figuring that out at the end of November, for God's sake?
I'm not going to lie. Listen. There was only one thing that was really intriguing to me about all this voting. There were two. I thought Class A would be interesting to see if he could get a few votes. And he ended up, third place for Cy Young. The other thing is that Stephen Vogt only got 27 of the 30. So the first thing that came to my mind was, who were the three baseball writers of the Association of America that didn't vote for him? Right? Like, you look to see how many votes somebody, and then you're like, and rather than looking at the positive going, man, there were 27 beat writers that thought, hey, Stephen Vogt should be the manager of the year. You ask yourself, who are the three guys that didn't think he was manager of the year?
Yeah. Well, who ended up getting that the, you know, the first place votes? Who had three first place votes? Was it one guy or somebody else? I don't
even
know.
City. The guy in Kansas City got the other three.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Cotraro. He came from Tampa Bay. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think there were any expectations for that team. So that, I guess. But it coming from the same division, too, you would think Stephen Vogt, rookie manager, and it thought was going to go out and do what they did. Yeah, he's got to be a clean sweep there. Just like you knew that Scoble was going to be more than likely a clean sweep. Then Class A, I would have figured, you know, in second. But, again, I don't even know how it lined up because it's so far removed from the season. I didn't even know these awards were coming out.
It's asinine.
I said this yesterday. Look, I think, but let's be honest. It's, you know, I'm really happy that Stephen Vogt won Manager of the Year. But by the same token, he'll never get a vote because the team was so bad. But, hey, Grady Sizemore got the White Sox to the finish line. I know they were a bad team. But, really, if you think about it, what's harder, to have a good team that knows how to play and have a guy that can manage good players or a guy that's got bad players trying to get you through a season? I think not that Grady Sizemore should be manager of the year. But I wish he would have got the gig, too. But he should get, like, a flak jacket or something, right?
Well, let's make
a
it.
A bulletproof vest?
We should do everything in our power to forget that White Sox team ever happened. Just move it along.
Agreed. After watching them. But we all know how this goes, guys. Hey, we all know that Manager of the Year is baseball writers' way of saying, who made me look the dumbest of the year? And so because we don't know why this team was better than it should have been, well, it's managing. Here, it's the manager. Here you go. Here's an award. You made us look dumb. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, and you'd like to know at the end of the day how much managing is actually done nowadays. You know, there are a lot of moves that are made.
I was waiting for this. Keep going.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
No, I think you're right. Like, Brian, I'm telling you, listen, BA, when I talk to folks that we talk about managing in Major League Baseball, I go, you must listen to Brian Anderson every Friday on our show because he is 100% telling us the way it is about the way these lineup cards get turned in, who's actually putting the names on the lineup card, and then And correct me if I'm wrong, once the game starts, don't you think it's a little bit more in the manager's hands than even before the game starts?
Certainly once the game starts, that moves have to be made. But there are times, blatant times that you see a move made, and I'll look over at Dwayne, and in between innings, I'm like, well, that was decided at about 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yep.
You know, there was a perfect example, Aaron Somali last year. Starting a game for the Rays. And he went 5 innings. I think he had given up maybe a hit. No runs, one hit, 5 innings, 66 pitches, pulled. Why? Because get ready to go through the lineup for the third time. He's dealing. He hasn't missed a spot. He's throwing as well as he has thrown as a Ray, as probably as well as you've seen him in Cleveland. He was absolutely dealing. Pitch count was in order, 66, 5 innings, 1 base runner, no runs, doesn't come out for the sixth. Well, okay, then that was decided in the middle of the afternoon. He gets two times through the order. Don't care if they're five perfect innings. He's coming out after five. So that's not managing. That's been predetermined, and there's a lot of
that's strato, Matt. Yeah. All right, B, I have 60 seconds. I have to ask you this question. It was one of our fact or fiction questions for the pregame show. Is turkey overrated?
No. Turkey is not overrated, and it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving for me to enjoy it. In fact, I just got an air fryer delivered today because for all the people out there that love to deep fry turkeys with the grease and the mess and the potential blowing up of the garage, go get yourself a Charbroil air fryer that hooks to a propane tank and do the turkey that way. You will not tell the difference between a deep fried turkey in oil and the air fried turkey. And it just came in today. I'm excited to get that baby out.
Really? All right, yeah. B.A. Well, take care of business. Have a great Thanksgiving. And we talked to him before then?
I don't know. If he's bored next week.
Yeah, if you're bored, you can talk to us next week. Although I don't think he'll be here.
You know what? I will. I'm taking a little mini vacation with the kids. They don't have school next week. So
Beautiful. We're
going out for a couple of days. We'll be back for Thanksgiving. And then, whatever. I'll talk to you on Friday.
Enjoy. All right. Thank you, B.A. We'll talk to you soon. Brian Anderson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Here's Andrew Hody with the 2020. The enjoyment and the thrill of beating the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. I thought our fans were great last night. It was nice not to see all those terrible towels swinging around. You sat through the whole game, man. You got just ripped with snow throughout that, if you didn't get ripped with something else. But our crowd was not feeling a whole lot. Listen, I feel really, really bad. So last night when I was doing my postgame show we were standing in the way, you know, we were like in the Steelers tunnel, okay? And that's where those real high-end seats are, too. You know what I'm talking about?
They don't allow people like me near those.
Well, no, you can see them, though. They're the high-end seats where people...
They don't even let people like me look at them.
They're the new seats they put in recently, the ones that are down on the field.
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been to that yet.
You haven't noticed it on TV?
You have to realize, like, I watch these games. Like, I have to go back home and rewatch them because I do, like, actually kind of have a job during these games.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're watching a play, you can see that, like, oh, there's seats there now.
I'm not paying attention to that part.
All right, well, pay attention next time.
All right, I'll pay attention.
So we're in the middle of the show, and Jamel's standing right next to me. And all of a sudden, like,
ding,
you hear Jamel White, former Browns running back. And so all of a sudden, I'm talking to him, and I look back at the camera, and then I look back at Jamel, and I don't think they had too many libations. Man, this guy wiped out hard.
Oh, man.
Really, really hard. And I don't know if it was ice on the ground, but so there was a stanchion between us and him, and he hit the stanchion, and then, whoo, man, hit the ground.
Oof.
And I thought his head hit the ground, and it was one of those moments where, like, I don't know if you know this, but stuff happens all the time when you're live on the air.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just weird fan stuff that happens behind you, and you just totally ignore it. This guy came really, really close to hitting Jamel, and I'm like, I just got to tell you, there's a guy that just wiped out next to Jamel, and he is probably in some pain right now, and he's going to have trouble waking up in the morning. I mean, he was hurting.
Oh, that stinks.
He was hurting. But you know the worst part about it? I watched this guy, and there were like three people, and security helped him back up, and I don't really think he was wasted.
Well, no, but you get that much snow and wet and it compresses.
When you put it on a plastic mat, right?
Put it on a plastic mat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. You're just asking for trouble.
So what happened? So now I turn and I go back to the camera and I'm still talking about the game. And out of the corner of my eye, I see one guy run up to another guy with his phone. And he's like, check this out. I got it all on video. What has happened to us? Is there any compassion in the world anymore?
No. Because I have no idea why that is. And this is a really deep conversation. But, like, something has happened where now things immediately take place and our thought process is grab our phone and not check to make sure that the human that's bleeding is okay or to make sure that we're calling a paramedic to come help them
or something like that.
Instead, we're more concerned about getting the video of it so that we can post it on all of our social channels and hope it goes viral of, you know, big man fall down, go boom, and then everybody can giggle at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a couple more phone calls. It is a Browns Therapy Friday. Get it off your chest. Browns coming up with that big, big, big win. It's a big win because it's Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's a big win for the standings, but it's a big win because it's over Pittsburgh. And it was a lot of fun when you saw all the snow falling last night. 24-19, the final. Rodney's in Litchfield. Hi, Rodney. How are you?
Hi, Rodney.
Hey guys, I was gonna talk about Browns, but I'll tell you, 2 years ago we witnessed a guy fall from the upper deck and almost landed.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, man. When I was a kid, I couldn't sleep at night. I hang on, just real quick. When I was a kid, and we'd go down to Municipal, I used to have like I was really scared to go sit in the upper deck because of those catwalks that got you there. Right? Remember those? And I was always like, oh. And then sometimes you get up there, it's pretty steep. I'll tell you, the only time I've ever felt that feeling again is in Dallas at Jerry World. If you're in the upper deck seats there, dude,
I heard that.
They are really steep.
Really?
Steep.
Huh.
You can only have like a 2-foot railing because if not, you wouldn't be able to see the game if you were sitting in the lower seat.
Oh, good man. Golly. But, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This guy supposedly survived it. He busted his leg about it. I mean, there was a puddle under him of blood. I had to move. I couldn't sit there anymore.
Oh, man. That's a bad story.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's an ugly one.
Hey, right, hang on one second. I got one more. Do you remember, and some folks might remember this. Was it Red Right 88? What was the game against the Steelers? Right, that was Red Right 88.
81.
And how cold it was there. And I remember I was with my dad, and there was a guy who was wearing, like, Carhartts, okay? And he was running around the stadium the whole game. Like, if you were there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And he had, like, some kind of metal belt that was keeping them on, like this little hook on the back so that the bottom of his pants wouldn't fall out. And you could see, he was like, you could watch him go, I assume it's hypothermia. He turned completely red during the game because he wasn't wearing a shirt. And like, I want to say my dad said that guy didn't make it. So either that guy didn't make it or my dad was trying to say, don't ever be a fool and run around when it's that cold without any clothes on.
I wonder how many people went to the hospital after that game because there was numerous guys running around. We were at third base. Remember where third base used to be, where the dirt was? That's where our seats were at.
Oh, so we were behind home plate. We used to sit behind home plate. We
had right around the corner from you.
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember this. There used to be a scoreboard that was on one of those catwalks into the loges, right? And it was underneath. It was where home plate was, and my dad used to run that. But what was crazy was they gave him two seats to do the job, but one of the seats was behind a pole. And that was the one I got to sit in.
Yeah, definitely. So the thing I wanted to mention about the Browns and Stefanski and a couple things. One of the elephants in the room that I still haven't figured out, you guys are closer to it than me, whose decision was it to play Baker 2 years ago or now three? I still can't understand why that guy was out in the field. We all saw what happened that year.
Yeah.
And I give the guy credit for being out there. Now
I do too.
The guy screening the call said it was Baker's call. Okay, if it's Baker's call, this ownership has a problem because the players never run the insane asylum, right? It's not the nuts that run it; it's the people in charge. So if Baker made the decision to play that year, I've got other questions I'd want to ask. But with the
Rodney, let me throw this at you real quick, and I just. If you're a player, right, and you want to play, and they're asking you what your pain threshold is, so let's just say, we all know that smiley face chart that's, 0 to 10, and they ask you how you're feeling, and you know it's a 10 because you want to keep playing, but you're going to turn back, oh, it's like a 2. It doesn't, I don't really feel it, and you fake it. Who are you supposed to be mad at then?
I'm going to be mad when I watch, and I'm a professional making decisions, that he wasn't capable of being out there. It was a poor decision. And not only, and I'm not saying getting rid of him. I'm not saying I would have kept him. I'm not saying he's going to win a championship. But here's the other thing. Not only did we get somebody to come in town that didn't want to be here, we overpaid for him financially and player personnel, 5 draft picks. That trade set us back 5 or 6 years. You cannot make a decision in pro sports that's going to set you back 5 or 6 years. You can't even name another decision like that. Even if you sign Aaron Rodgers, you didn't give up so much for Aaron Rodgers that it's going to set you back 5 years if it doesn't work out. And my other thing about Stefanski, I like him. I don't think I would get rid of him, but I will say this. I'm not sure I would have gotten rid of Bickerstaff, and look where we're at right now.
Good point. That's a great point. Hey, Rodney, have a great weekend. Appreciate you. Enjoy this Therapy Friday, this Victory Friday for the Browns.
Gentlemen, news coming down from the New York Giants. A statement from John Mara on Daniel Jones saying, Daniel came to see me this morning and asked if we would release him. We mutually agreed that that would be best for him and for the team. Ooh. So Daniel Jones has been released by the New York Giants.
All right, let's talk more about that. We'll talk about what BA had to say. Plenty more to come right here. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, we are living life today, feeling real good about things because the Browns won yesterday, and everybody, you know, I don't know how you can't be excited. The only way you wouldn't be excited is if you're a Steeler fan. And I think Steeler fan kind of knew it was coming last night. They, you know, they've played enough to win a lot of these games all season long, and then you throw the weather element in there last night, and now all of a sudden, boom, it's a Browns victory. And it's a Browns victory Friday, and it feels pretty sweet today, especially for a team that's just been struggling to have good news all season long. So, I don't know. That's just kind of how I see it right now. So, Dan, yeah, we were talking about the flex. There was a game that was flexed. So the Browns are definitely on Monday night next week, and then you have to assume they're going to get the last game of the week. They're not going to get any kind of flex. Or the last game of the season, they're not going to see a flex.
Well, so that's the big thing to catch everybody up. The Bengal game, which would have been December 19th at Thursday Night Football, has been flexed out. It will be played December 22nd. At 1 o'clock, you'll be able to watch a game on Fox 2. If that, you know, none of us will remember it until the day before the game, anyhow. But that game has been moved to 1 o'clock on December 22nd. So, looking at the rest of this, I mean, they can't do anything with the Broncos game. If they were going to do anything with that one, they would have already announced it. So that is staying on Monday Night Football. I think the other one you got to circle, man, is the Dolphins game, the Sunday night or December 19th or 29th, I should say. Okay. Dolphins game, that's the one I would circle and say we're probably going to see that one at 1 o'clock as well. It's just the way that it goes.
I mean, you knew this was coming, though. Like, it's not, you know, when you're a two-win team, the only thing that was holding the Browns in some of these spots that you might say, okay, well, maybe they will still end up on national TV down the stretch here, and maybe it would have been because of the Hard Knock show, which, by the way, did you see the teaser for it? I was watching yesterday. I saw it.
I did. I saw the teaser. I saw the Nick Chubb part of it that was floating around, too.
Yeah, so it wasn't bad. At least they recognize we're in the AFC North. So
it's valid. It's valid.
We had that going for us. And then the other thing, let's face it, Browns draw viewers. A lot of people like to watch the Browns, whether they're winning or losing. So those were two reasons they may have had a chance. But, I mean, if you're sitting there on Thursday Night Football, you're like, okay. I mean, if Al Michaels is bored with you, you're probably in trouble.
I get it. I get the move that the NFL would make. They put these rules in so that they could put the best games in the island games, the primetime games, so then that way you get the biggest number. I mean, we all know how television works. More eyeballs equals more money. Congratulations, you get TV.
Yes.
So as much as the Browns fan base is a really good driver, having great football games is an even better driver. So I get it. It stinks, but I get it.
So there were stories that were floating around this morning about Daniel Jones, who's contemplating leaving the Giants after being benched, and he's got, you know, contract stuff going on there. And so we just found out who reported this. Ian Rappaport? No.
The Giants themselves out a statement releasing Daniel Jones. Yep.
So, and what exactly happened again? Read it. Tell everyone what happened again.
Of course, I don't have it in front of me right now.
We have to read it. So they're with Tommy DeVito for the rest of the year then?
So it's looking like Tommy Cutlets and Drew Locke are the two that they're looking at. But apparently, according to the statement, Daniel Jones went to John Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, and said, hey, if you're not going to play me, I want out. Give me a head start. And John Mara obliged and said, all right, we'll release you and get you a bit of a head start. And so the question that popped into my head, because, you know, sometimes it's fun to be an agent of chaos. Jameis Winston or Daniel Jones?
Jameis Winston. Sorry. I know people might think that's kind of fun and sexy to go out and, ooh, let's get Daniel Jones. He's out there. He's available. He's a free agent. I'm not, you know what? I'm happy with what James did last night. He's got one interception in 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks after he had, what, two the first week. So they figured out how to, you know, curtail some of that, making a little bit better decision making. And I don't know. I feel like the team has a chance to win when he goes out there. So. I'm not going to – and Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones. You tell me, what would you do?
I am Jameis Winston as well over Daniel Jones. I think it's an interesting – you kind of kick the tires on it. Like, put it this way, if I were the Browns, I'd call a meeting. You know, it would definitely be one of those where I'd be like, okay, let's get everybody in the room. What do we think, guys? Do we want to maybe bring Daniel Jones in here and see if there's anything to this? And maybe sign him – you know, in the same idea of a bridge quarterback. And I think the entire room looks at it and goes, "Yeah, we got Jameis. Let's stick with Jameis." And that's how I feel. I'd rather have Jameis Winston. Jameis will push the ball down the field a little bit more. Daniel Jones has his limitations. His accuracy is always going to be a bit of an issue. And the fact that he likes to check down all the time too will always be a bit of an issue. I like having a quarterback who wants to push the ball down the field.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. And I also understand that he's going to throw picks if he does that. It's going to happen every once in a while, right?
Now, yeah.
You know that. And you're a 3-win team. Who cares? Go for it.
Exactly. That's my whole thing with Jameis is like, and the best part of having Jameis Winston out there is what's happening with this offense right now. And by that, I mean the fact that I can go, okay, Jerry Jeudy, might be something there. That might be something. Okay. I don't know if I would have known that with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I don't know if I would have known that with Deshaun Watson. I don't know if I'd know that with Daniel Jones. But with Jameis Winston being able to throw the ball and use the fact that Jerry Jeudy is a man coverage beater and a bit of a burner, I now can look at that guy and go, Jerry Jeudy, okay, that might be a keeper. Elijah Moore, maybe all isn't lost. Maybe you're not the forgotten man in this whole thing. Maybe there's still something here. I can at least evaluate the rest of this roster and see if some of the dice rolls that have been taken are coming up decent numbers or if they're coming up snake eyes. You know, like I can at least evaluate a roster with Jameis Winston. I can't do that with Daniel Jones. And I got to play Daniel Jones ball, which is just nasty and isn't fun to watch. And this is entertainment, isn't it?
I think so. Let me check. Yeah, it's entertainment. Last night was entertainment, that's for sure. It was fun. Last night was just fun. Is now the time, though, for Jameis Winston then to say, let's go get a new deal. Let's figure this out now before it becomes more expensive.
I would. And even if it's now or even if it's at the end of the season, I'm going up to Jameis Winston and I'm handing him a 2 to 3 year contract, $20 million a year. And just for the lone reason of like, dude, I want you to come in and I just want you to be the bridge. I want you to be a guy.
They do have cap space to do this. Like, there's no problem financially due to $20 million a year.
You'd have to yank the lever on Deshaun Watson's contract to keep him around, which is probably what it looks like it's going to do anyway.
Okay.
So they'll probably do that.
Don't you think Deshaun at some point is going to say, because I thought it was interesting, Anthony and Ken were talking about it this morning, that, and I don't know, maybe you can take a look, Did Deshaun do anything on Instagram? Did he do anything on social media congratulating his team, saying that's a hard-fought win, boys?
Well, where do you want to check? Do you want him to check the burners or do you want him to check actual Deshaun Watson?
Well, first, check the regular ones.
Check the regulars and then go to the burners.
What's the latest? Is there a new burner?
I don't know if there's a new burner. I think Leroy Bickerstaff is still going nuts out there somewhere.
Man, Leroy. Oh, he was a good coach, wasn't he?
But, like, that stuff doesn't have any meaning to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm too hardened. Maybe my brain doesn't work that way. But, like, I more look at this and go, all right, I can hand Jameis the keys to this thing, and I can try as the Browns organization to thread the needle. And by that, I mean attempt to be a mildly competitive team while also kind of retooling some of this stuff. You want to talk about why the Steelers are able to do what they're able to do. You want to talk about why the Ravens are able to do what they're able to do. The Packers, a little bit with the Niners, you could lump them into. It's an ability to be able to never truly rebuild, but always be able to retool and maybe take a half step back, but never take 4 steps back to go 6 steps forward. It's the one thing that the best teams that everybody circles and says, this is who I want to build around. Those are the things that they do. And Jameis Winston puts this team in a position where they're able to do that. They can maybe take we call this season maybe the half step back, but then be able to next year go in and go, okay, there might be a wild card on this team.
Did you put your right foot in yet?
I just shook it all about.
Oh, okay. Just make sure. Which, by the way, is the best, right? It's the best line in the song.
What, shook it all about?
Shake it all about, yeah.
I've never graded lines in the Hokey Pokey before.
We live the Hokey Pokey around here.
I'll have to sit back and think of it. I'll have to sit back and think of the best lines of the Hokey Pokey. Anyway, that way, I can judge this roster, I can figure out who the keepers are, and I can do a retool while still remaining competitive, which is the best part of Jameis Winston. It's why I'd go up to him and go, dude, here's a 3-year contract. And if I do that, it gets me out of the quarterback market for this year, where I don't have to talk myself into anybody. Because that's what everybody's telling you is, okay, Cam Ward, you're going to have to talk yourself into that. Shedeur Sanders is going to need some time. Talk yourself into that one. Drew Aller is a lotto ticket, as much as we all love him in Cleveland. Like, I'd rather be in next year's quarterback draft than this year's quarterback draft. And if I sign Jameis to a 2 to 3 year deal as a bridge guy, man, that solves that problem. And I could go best available left tackle, best available defensive end, best available corner.
Do you know how many motions you have to take to do the hokey pokey?
Six.
No, it's more than that.
Really?
According to the Learning Station, this is the dance song for kids. Not, you want to know what you put in? You want me to go through this really quick? Very fast?
Sure.
Right foot in, left foot in, right arm in, left arm in, put your head in, put your knees in, put your shoulders in, put your elbows in, put your bottom in.
Nobody's ever made it this far.
This one I've never heard
before.
Nobody's
ever made it this deep into the hokey pokey.
This is the other one. Put your quiet voice in? What is that all about?
This is the equivalent of somebody being like, man, I listened to all 20 minutes of Iron Butterflies and the God of DeVita. Right. It doesn't pick up until minute 12.
I'm not even done. Put your loud voice in. Put your tummy in. Put your nose in.
What is
and
this?
And then put your whole self in.
I feel like this is one of those where we look at each other and go, do you know the National Anthem had like three extra verses on the end of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it, if you heard those three extra verses, you probably wouldn't stand for it. I'm not going down that road today, but if you read it and you keep going past
the extra
verses.
We're not doing that. Just sorry.
I'm not doing that today, but I
should not have said that out loud.
I said it out loud. Go ahead, read it. Tell me if you think that. Never mind. Don't tell me. We'll talk about it another day, but if you've ever read past what we actually sing, I don't know that we would do it. How about America the Beautiful? That would be great. I'd be all happy for that. 216-474-0092.
20 verses.
216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.